Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. My name is Doug Wortham. I have the distinct pleasure of being your host today. Today, we're going to talk about National PTSD Awareness Day and hear about how one organization has declared war on veteran PTSD. Then we'll check in with the Minnesota Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization, and we'll round out the show hearing from the Command Senior Enlisted Leader of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
On National Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Awareness Day, we pause to acknowledge the invisible wounds that affect so many of our brave men and women who have served in uniform. Post-traumatic stress disorder is a silent adversary, one that can haunt our veterans long after they return home from their battlefield. As leaders, it is our duty to ensure those who suffer from PTSD receive the support and care they deserve. We must break our stigma surrounding mental health and encourage open dialogue and understanding. To our veterans living with PTSD, know that you are not alone. Your courage to speak up is a testament to your strength and resilience. We are here for you, and we will continue to fight alongside you.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Bravo Zulu House is declaring war on veteran PTSD. Veteran sobriety is the number one barrier to successfully treating PTSD. The VA confirms that most PTSD sufferers abuse drugs and alcohol. Thus, Bravo Zulu House in southern Minnesota was born. Bravo Zulu House is the first all-military sober home exclusively focused on the unique sober housing needs of veterans. Joining me today to talk about the great work of Bravo Zulu House is their executive director, Tim Murray, and board of directors member, Sam Andrews. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Great to have you guys in the studio and to talk about this topic. And obviously, it couldn't be more timely, right? Today being National PTSD Awareness Day. And Sam, I really want to make sure that we get started right away, because what a great mission this is. And I'd like to know if you can just tell us a little bit about what Bravo Zulu House is and why it's so important for Bravo Zulu House to exist.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Doug. So Bravo Zulu is going to save lives. I firmly believe that. And we're going to save lives by doing a better job of integrating healthcare. Here are just some kind of scary statistics to kind of sit and reflect on as we talk about the mission of Bravo Zulu and how we intend on impacting the healthcare of our veterans. So, Doug, since the war in Afghanistan started, since 9/11, we've lost about 7,500 service members during combat operations. Outside of that, we've lost about 35,000 members to suicide. We just pause for just a minute. 35,000 men and women who've served our country have taken their own lives in the same span of time that the conflicts occurred. I think we can do better. I think we owe it to the families of those service members who served along with them to do better. So some other interesting and somewhat challenging statistics, approximately 3 million veterans suffer from PTSD. That's both diagnosed and undiagnosed. And according to the VA, about 90% of them, so, you know, 2.7 million men and women are struggling with drugs and alcohol in addition to PTSD. So let's think about that in terms of like existing in society. So we don't make or enter into legal contracts under the influence. We don't drive under the influence. We don't do other hard work under the influence. It's therefore likely that they also can't receive the treatment that they need for PTSD if they're also, you know, succumbed to drugs and alcohol. And so to get there, we have to get them sober first. And that process normally starts with some sort of intervention. And then that service member goes through either the VA, you know, inpatient treatment or a Hazleton or a Betty Ford clinic, and then they come out. And that's the gap that Bravo Zulu is going to fill. So it's the first all-veteran sober house that will continue the care of that veteran once they leave an inpatient clinic. To use a similar example, say that one of us, say Sam, needed to have a hip replaced. And he goes into United here in St. Paul, and he receives a hip replacement, and they get him ready to move to the next level of care, which might be a skilled nursing facility. And that skilled nursing facility is going to continue Sam's care until he can go into an independent living facility. The uniqueness and really the demand in the market is that Bravo Zulu fits that skilled nursing facility by accepting veterans into the house for as long as they need to be there to get the underlying root cause of their mental health addressed, which is generally PTSD associated with their time in service. So Bravo Zulu is going to save lives. Tim's really an expert on the internal workings of what that looks like from a holistic person treatment perspective. And this model will enable our veterans to then step down into that independent living or go about the next course of their life.
And so, Tim, you know, this idea of the care that Sam is describing, you know, once they're discharged from some type of a clinic or a center that's designed, you know, an in-house treatment, for example, this idea didn't just come out of thin air, right? I mean, I'm sure that there's some background about how it came into existence and why or how this gap was identified. And I just wonder if you can talk a little bit about that, because I know that you're very instrumental in that.
13 years ago, I met an amazing man named Colonel Father Martin Fleming. Colonel Fleming was the Army General Chaplain under Colin Powell. All the Army chaplains reported to him. He reported to Colin Powell. Excuse me. And I showed up on his doorstep, a very broken man, emotionally, financially, spiritually. And Colonel Father Fleming and the King's men put this Humpty Dumpty back together again. And Father used to like to mix his military and his Catholic terms. So he sat down with me after about 6 months, and he said, Tim, I've received inside word that my transfer papers to purgatory are being processed. And I'd like you to join me on a 35-year mission of rolling out a series of sober homes. What do you think? So if you can imagine, Doug, how hard it is to say no to a priest, imagine one that's also a colonel. So that was day one of Trinity Sober Homes. 13 years later, and four homes and roughly 450 men served, we now have the highest post-treatment recovery rate in the nation at 71%. During COVID, we took a look, maybe like most people did, you had a little bit too much time in your hands and maybe too much thinking, but we did a strategic analysis of where are some of the biggest gaps in the marketplace. And I'm a little embarrassed to say it took me 13 years to connect the dots between Colonel Father Martin Fleming saving my life and this gap that's in the military, but the math or the connection goes pretty simple like this. Most people know that there are 22 to 40 veterans who commit suicide every single day. Many people know that their PTSD is a contributing factor to that. What I think nobody knows, I certainly didn't know, and very few people I think know, is that 90% of those struggling with PTSD self-admit in a VA report, self-acknowledge abusing drugs and alcohol. So therefore, we've concluded that lack of sobriety is the number one barrier to effectively treating PTSD. And so if Father Fleming would have been sitting here listening to me tell this story, he would have said something like, "So what, Tim? What are you going to do about it?" And so out of that, Bravo Zulu House was formed. We basically did a spin-out or a spin-off in the corporate world. Language created a separate 501c3 called Bravo Zulu House. And since I am not a veteran, my dad was with the 101st Airborne, my son is a major, I recruited people like Lieutenant Colonel Sam Andrews, General Joseph Votel, Major John Donovan, and others to join our board to guide us to make sure that as the only all-military sober house in the country that's going to help veterans with both PTSD and addiction, that we did it in a way in which it would be world class.
Well, and I do want to talk a little bit more about where you're going in the future. And this is a good time to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Bravo Zulu House, the mission, the vision, and again, what's next. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. We're continuing our conversation here with Tim Murray and Sam Andrews. We're talking about Bravo Zulu House and the things that you're doing inside of Bravo Zulu House to help our veterans who are suffering from PTSD, but ultimately the underlying issues of some type of an addiction. And Tim, I want to come back with you in and maybe have you just share, you know, briefly, what is the mission or the vision, I should say? Where are you going? How many homes do you have right now or houses do you have right now? And what do you look like in the future?
Sure. So right now we have one, which is the Bravo Zulu House in Martin County, just south of Mankato. I'm a big believer in doing things once in a row, working the bugs out, getting it right. And if the marketplace, which we think will demand, and we think other partners like the VA and others will step up and say, boy, we like the results. So I like to be data-driven in our conversations about the effectiveness. So I think the future, frankly, is being written by how well we serve these men in this first house.
And the house opened its doors when?
So actually, we're still under construction right now.
Okay.
So we're raising money. How much have we raised, Sam, so far?
$730,000.
So $730,000 on a total cost of $1.2 million, and we'll schedule to open in the first quarter of 2025.
Okay.
And I can go through maybe what those dollars are used for as it relates to the programs that'll be in the you know, in the house.
Yeah, we do want to talk about the programs, and I think it's important to kind of lay out the facts that, one, you've already done the research. You know what the data shows. You've identified the gap. Sam already talked about that gap. And so you're going to open up this home for veterans. So it's a veteran community. But when you have that first veteran show up or group of veterans show up that say, we need this assistance, help us, Sam, what can they expect there on that day one and moving forward?
Well, first of all, the actual home is incredible. The plans, the in-kind donations from the local Martin County community have really created a warm and inviting place for men to live. That's kind of the first part. The second part is there'll be a licensed drug and alcohol counselor on site that will be able to interact and provide an assessment. And then at some point, we'll be able to name our partner, like the really big partner. We'll be able to share that. We're kind of finalizing that, but that'll be a really important piece to address the whole healthcare continuum. So PTSD, their new sober life. And then really what I would argue is probably kind of the jewel of the organization. So a 5-acre farm, it'll come with a working dog kennel. So each man will get assigned, a dog to care for. And then in the barn, we're going to do hydroponic farming. And so an opportunity to contribute to their newfound community and then generate some revenue to help offset the OPEX expense. And so it's this really kind of mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional model that takes a veteran who struggled with substance abuse, we get them through the pipeline with a proper diagnosis, and then they get the treatment that they need really in all four of those quadrants.
And so in a, I don't want to say it's a perfect world, but when the house is complete, what is your capacity?
We'll have 13 bedrooms. There's an on-site full-time house manager in addition to that LADC counselor. Think of that person as coming there on a daily basis for their job. But our model that we've used at Trinity and many successful sober houses have a full-time house manager. In addition to what Sam perfectly described, is that all men are required to work or volunteer 30 hours a day. What we've learned is that—
I'm sorry, wait, 30 hours a day?
Excuse me. No wonder they're staying sober.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
No time to do anything else.
Or week.
Or week.
Week, day. So thank you, Doug. Excellent listener. So 30 hours a week, our men are required to work or volunteer. We find that the dignity of human beings becomes restored much faster when they're required to work. And they also pay rent. So they'll pay $600 a month, which they can more than afford off of the money that they'll generate as an employee somewhere.
Okay. And so the 13 beds, they're full. People are working at the in the compound, or I don't know how you want
on
to
describe it. Sure, on the farm? Sure, yeah, on the farm. They're working through one of the various employers. I don't know what we count, 5,000-ish jobs in that.
Yep.
A couple county.
So plenty of employment, to be had in that area. But the big thing here is they're in a community of people, and Sam, you described this, a community of people that are have the similar experiences. Maybe they have deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan. And so when I'm talking to you about what it was like in wherever in the world, you've got someone on the other end listening that really understands it.
Yeah, absolutely. So really shared values, shared culture, similar experiences. And then that in and of itself builds that whole set of accountability systems, right? Like you kind of default back to those experiences or values. And that new community can spring and work together and hold each other accountable without having to hold each other accountable. It just sort of naturally occurs. It's like living in a platoon, right?
Right.
You have the rules and the structure. And, you know, when a good platoon runs, it just kind of runs itself.
Yeah, I think that that's important. And this isn't a referral program, or is it a self-referral program? How does somebody get signed up or get administered into the farm?
Sure. There's about 15,000 treatment centers in the U.S. Hazelden, Betty Ford, others recognize those names. In every single one of those treatment centers right now today, there's at least one veteran. So those are part of that 20,000 a month that are coming out of treatment. So we are a post-treatment facility. As Sam talked about, there's this big gap or this big fall off that you come out of treatment after 30 days. And right now, if you're finally sober after 30 days of treatment, but nobody's going to help you with your PTSD. So all of our men will be coming to us from a treatment facility. We will do a psychological evaluation of that man before they come to us to make sure that they're okay to live in a group home environment. And typically men live with us for 12 to 18 months. That's been our experience. Our average length of stay at Trinity is about 19 months. Typically, men with families, we encourage them to go back, but it usually takes about a year to implement the changes that are really needed to maintain long-term sobriety.
And, you know, you mentioned man, all right? So, you know, what I'm inferring then is right now, this is a male facility or home, farm. Is there... you're probably going to gauge success here, and then as you are able to get more property, when success comes, then you'll look at opening up facilities that will allow for that the female or the woman camaraderie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aspect. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Pam Krill, who is the membership director of the Minnesota American Legion. Pam has been a huge supporter of ours, helping us in southern Minnesota, and probably the strongest advocate for services for women. And what we've made is a commitment, partly because Pam told me, if you know Pam, you'd know, you just say, yes, Pam, is that our next home will be all military women's sober house.
Okay.
And so we've made that commitment. We just want to make sure we get the first one right. And our experience is in with men, and, Pam and other women leaders will be helping us stand up that first women's sober house. My guess is it'll be late 25 or early 26 when we get to that.
So we have about 45 seconds left in the segment. And Sam, I want to wrap this up with you. What kinds of things are you looking for as it relates to board membership, volunteers, donations? What are the things that you need to make sure that Bravo Zulu House is successful?
Yeah, number one, board composition is incredibly important. A couple of the gaps that we have, we really need a senior enlisted advisor, sergeant major, command chief, somebody of that caliber who can ensure proper governance, as well as like really be the, you know, insight on health, morale, welfare, etc. That would be incredibly important. A really high powered doc, somebody who's connected to the veteran space or just cares enough. We need an MD or a PSYD to join the team. That would be incredibly insightful. And then finally, you know, for the last 20 minutes, I guess we've made a pretty emotional appeal, right? To do better, to do more, and then to do it in a really effective way. So, you know, those donations are tax deductible. They will finish the build of the addition. We just broke ground on that about 2 months ago. and add the dog kennels and add the hydroponic farming. So, you know, those tax deductible donations are incredibly important to the business. And then once the business is up and established, or the nonprofit, then it cash flows neutral. So very, very appreciative of that opportunity.
What's the website people can go to?
Follow us on LinkedIn. Bravo Zulu House, or
www.bravozuluhouse.org.
Perfect. Tim, Sam, thanks for coming in and sharing what you're doing with Bravo Zulu House. And we really appreciate you looking and identifying this gap and finding another way to help our veterans in need. So I appreciate it.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate your time. Thanks.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and in a moment, we're going to hear from the Mississippi River Valley Cottage Grove Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Brad Lindsay.
This week, families, friends, and communities celebrate the independence of our country and the freedoms we enjoy as we celebrate the 4th of July. The signers of the Declaration of Independence did not take their signatures lightly. Here we are, hundreds of years later, with the same purpose and promise that guides our country. At your 4th of July celebrations, I encourage you to take a moment and look back on the courage and wisdom of our founding fathers and be renewed in our shared commitment to those core values that brought our nation to life back then. This is still what guides us now. Take a few minutes to remember what the 4th of July is about, and to remind ourselves how fortunate we are to be Americans. Freedom is not free. Happy 4th of July.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us in the studio now is the president of the Mississippi River Valley Cottage Grove Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization, Ray Kane. And with him is the vice president and active member of the organization, Patrick Nickel. Patrick, Ray, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, glad you're here. It's good to have you in the studio. It's always a great opportunity to have some of our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organizations or entities in the studio, kind of give us an update of how things are going and what kind of great things that are happening out inside of your organization. So with that, I really want to get right to it because we've got just a short amount of time. It always goes by so fast. And Ray, I thought I'd start with you on this. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the Mississippi River Valley Cottage Grove Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and really what you're doing to help support our military veterans, service members, and families.
Yeah, so Mississippi River Valley, we were Cottage Grove Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, but we are now moving over to Mississippi River Valley because we now take care of Cottage Grove, St. Paul Park, Newport, Hastings, and Gray Cloud Island. So we have a large group of areas that we're covering, so about five cities right now. And when we say, what do Beyond the Yellow Ribbons do? We do everything. We're talking about we have assistance for folding laundry for deployed soldiers, all the way up to mowing lawns, all the way up to Home Depot projects for veterans. So we want to, I wouldn't say problems, we have opportunities out in the with veterans, and we try to find resources for them and assist them. So there's so many resources out there, especially the state of Minnesota, so we try to navigate that for veterans. So we did 158 soldiers for Christmas 2 years ago. This year, because we only had one group deployed, we did 98 veterans and their families for Christmas. So we work with the VFW, the American Legions, the Lions Club. So we do so much to try to find resources for our veterans in our community and share the resources, not only just for the state of Minnesota, but for our community. We have so many resources that veterans aren't aware of. So with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, I love it because it taught me to find resources for veterans, to actually got me my position here at the American Legion. So I'm the Department Service Officer for the American Legion. So I have resources now that I didn't even know I had before to be able to solve and make sure veterans are taken care of, not only veterans, but currently deployed soldiers.
And so I want to make sure that I'm speaking properly. What was the Cottage Grove Beyond the Yellow Ribbon? You're now transforming to become the Mississippi River Valley because you're encompassing so many other cities and
that's
and areas.
Correct.
Okay, I want to make sure I have that right for you. And I want to bring Patrick into this. And it was interesting because when Ray was talking about the different services and things that you've done, you shared with me before we came into the studio that one of the things that you were doing, or maybe you're still doing, is you're actually doing some of that cutting of the grass.
Yes, I am. It's actually very rewarding. I enjoy going to the vet's house and cutting grass, or I also plow their driveway.
Wow! And so that's just a great testament. And I understand that you actually have some more to the story, because not only were you previously involved with the organization, you're still cutting grass, but at some point in time, you were actually someone in need. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that story.
I definitely was. I had a house fire, unfortunately, back in 21, and Ray stepped up, actually helped me out, put me in contact with Basic Needs, and then they were also, you'll have to help me out, Ray, with the gift cards that were donated to me, and I can't remember where
American
it was.
American Legions, VFWs.
Yeah, and then... once the house was complete, he actually, a friend of mine and Ray reached out to Home Depot, and they built a deck for me.
Wow, and I have to imagine that, and I'm just going to say, speaking for me, it's often difficult to ask for help. And so here you are, you're supporting an organization, you're pouring out, you're helping other service members, their families, veterans. All of a sudden, you're in a time of need. The help comes in. It starts pouring in. How has that kind of changed your outlook or your the way you think about the support that you're providing?
It's such a humbling experience to go through something like that, because you're absolutely right. Nobody wants to ask for help. And generally speaking, we don't. We hear it from somebody else. Somebody else is calling on behalf of that person to help out. And so to answer your question, it very humbling. And I can't tell you how important it was to me, to my family, just helping us out.
And Ray, you were a part of that.
Yes.
What was it like for you to be able to, you know, stand up and help Patrick in his time of need and his family's time of need?
The biggest thing is, we always talk about veterans have served their country in uniform, but we continue to serve our country. Just, but we're serving our community. And Patrick, if you actually figured out his schedule, working nights, he's doing overtime, doing all this stuff, helping our community as a police officer, on his day off, where you just want to just go and most of us just crush into the couch, he's actually taking the time before he mows his lawn or does anything else. He's out helping a veteran mow their lawn or shovel their driveway. So to somebody that's dedicated, we wanted to have a spot for him to where he can actually decompress. So when we reached out to Home Depot and we said, here, they were on board right away. They're like, let's make this happen. And it was amazing to get them to do that project for him.
And both of you are prior service. And so the I guess, I don't want to say if it's a natural fit, but you already can relate with, let's call it, your clients, right? Your client base, these families. And so, you know, you're able to understand where they're coming from, maybe understand that hesitancy, but then I would assume you're also there reassuring that, hey, look, it, you know, nobody's going to look upon you any differently if you ask for help, if you get the help from us, because we're just here to support.
My biggest thing that I always tell people, especially during Christmas, they're like, give me the Christmas list. Veterans are the last minute. They don't want to ask for help. Patrick, I think we had four monkeys on his back, and he didn't want the help. I can do it. We're like, we're going to do this for you. And that's the thing we wish and we pray sometimes veterans would reach out sooner. When they reach out sooner, we can find the resources for them sooner. We can, instead of being in a crisis where it's just in a panic mode, we can start to build those resources for them in their community, through the state, through the Legions, through the VFWs and other organizations. But at one point, they don't ask for help. And they need to start doing that ahead of time. Pride is a big thing.
That's one of the key things, right? When we talk to people who are veterans and they're looking for the different benefits that they might be entitled to because of their service, right? We direct them to a county veteran service officer or one of the VSOs, like an American Legion, where they've got a rep that can help them through the claims process, right, if they were injured or whatever. But we have to make sure that we continuously tell people that we have these networks out there that are here to help and to serve. And maybe you don't do everything because it would be impossible for you to do everything, but you know who else to call that might know who else to call to get whatever it is done that needs to be done for someone in need.
That is correct. Resources are the key because there are so many, you can't really know all of them. It's taken me 10 years to build this network that we have. And then I even, with being a part of the American Legion and being a part with the state and knowing who to go to is the key. And sometimes it's just like, here's a resource for you. You know, we have Basic Needs Food Market in our area, and there's no, you know, requirement. You just go in there, you leave your zip code, and there's food recovery in there. A lot of our veterans in our community don't even know that, but we're educating them on their benefits, resources. And we get a lot of veterans, oh, I was only in for this long. I don't deserve anything. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Yeah. You wrote that check. Like we all say, you are serving your country, and we appreciate that. So take care of your benefits. Take care of yourself. And some of our younger veterans are like, oh, I don't need it. You might not need it now.
That's right.
But 50 years from now, even 20 years from now, you're going to need those benefits.
Well, this is a great place to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Mississippi River Valley Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and in the studio with me is Ray Kane and also Patrick Nickel, both a part of the Mississippi River Valley Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization. You know, just great information that you all talked about in the last segment about what you're doing, the things that you're doing, the importance of connecting. And one of the things I think that's always neat to talk about is kind of the story behind the story. And Patrick, service isn't something new to you. It's not something that's new to your family either. And you said you love talking about your kids. So how about if you share with us just a little bit about what your kids are doing and how they're also serving our country?
Sure. So I will tell you, my dad actually served in Vietnam, and then, which is kind of one of the reasons why I ended up joining the military. And then my ex-wife, my kid's mother, she was in the Army Reserve for 12 years. But my oldest son, he joined the Minnesota National Guard and did one contract 6 years and got out. My daughter, she's active duty Air Force and doing a great job. She actually just happened to get stationed 45 minutes from her brother, which is awesome. They can hang out. But and then my youngest son, he is active duty Army. He enlisted for 5 years. I could see my daughter making it a life, but my son, my youngest son, he'll get out after the five. He's with the 10th Mountain.
Okay. So just a great story of service within your family. You must be extremely proud of your kids and what they're doing to not only serve, but, you know, to do their part.
Yeah, I absolutely am. I'm very blessed.
And it sounds like service then isn't anything that's shy inside of your family. Obviously, you served, you know, you were in the law enforcement and you continue to serve. And now every waking moment you have, you pour into the Mississippi River Valley Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
I definitely try. This is such a great program, and I cannot tell you enough how much it's done for me and my family, but the impact that we make for other veterans.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for your service and what you're doing with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. I know that organizations like that can't survive without great volunteers, and you obviously fill that bill. And so, Ray, I want to finish up with you and talk a little bit about more about Mississippi River Valley Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. And maybe you can talk a little bit about what you're looking for, what kind of things you need, or how people can actually connect and support you and your mission.
So Facebook is the key right now. Is we are working on a website, but, you know, with the changeover with our name, but connecting us with Facebook is getting on there. So we put a lot on Facebook and say, hey, we need a volunteer for this, or we need a lawn mode. We have something coming up in Hastings for a young lady that's being deployed. So we might need a lawn mode there if Patrick's not going to be doing, you know, Cottage Grove and Hastings. So we put something out there and say, you know what, we have laundry that needs to be folded. Yeah. Those little things, we want to make sure we connect on social media, and we'll be putting more volunteer opportunities on our website once we get that going. And the biggest thing is, if you have any correspondence, you want to write a letter or send a donation, it's Cottage Grove Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, because we're still using that business name, you know, the technological tax stuff is a little harder to get through and get that name changed. But it's P.O. Box 532, Cottage Grove, Minnesota, and it's 55016. But the biggest thing, once again, it's when you say, I want to volunteer for something, we might not need it today, but we'll probably need it tomorrow.
Well, what we can do is, you know, make sure that our producer takes the link that you're talking about to Facebook, and we'll put that in with the show notes, too, so that anybody that goes out to our website or if they podcast, they'll be able to get that information, and they'll go right to your Facebook page so they can reach out to you and volunteer and make donations if they're able. Gentlemen, thanks so much for the great work you're doing, for taking care of our families, of our service members and our veterans, and appreciate all the great work you're doing down there with the Mississippi River Valley Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
All right, awesome. Joining us now is the Command Senior Enlisted Leader of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Chief, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It is wonderful to hear your voice. It seems like it's been forever since we've had the opportunity to talk. And, you know, it seems like you're always doing something crazy going on. And what's interesting about today is when we were doing our normal spring show with the emergency management people, one of the things we were talking about is how we had such a nice and calm winter, and so the outlook on that meant we would not have any spring flooding. And boy, not that we had spring flooding, but what a turn of events and some major flooding going on right now across parts of Minnesota. And I understand that the Minnesota National Guard has been activated by the governor, so they're on state active duty providing some support. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what they're doing and what's going on right now with our Minnesota National Guard.
Absolutely. So we're just happy that the governor has asked us to help again in our communities. This is what the Minnesota National Guard is all about. So right now we have a total of 59 service members who are currently on state active duty orders. Now, they're coming from the 2 of the 135, a couple from the 682nd Engineer Battalion, and some from the Transportation Company. Now, what they're doing is they're down in Waterville, Minnesota. They're watching those pumps, making sure that those pumps are working. They're also trying to help with some emergency vehicle transportation, getting some emergency vehicles. They're there to do whatever it needs to be, and also that the armory in Faribault is open. I believe the Red Cross is working out of there. So that's all part of what your Minnesota National Guard is all about. We're here to serve in those communities to help in times of need. And, nope, we didn't anticipate this was going to happen, but when you have 15 days of rain, you know, in Faribault, Minnesota, as my friend Sherry Bailey shared with me, that's what you're going to have. 15 days in June, they've had rain. So that's a lot of rain for that area, and so it has to go somewhere. And unfortunately, we're seeing the remnants of all of that that's happening now in southwestern Minnesota.
You know, one of the mottos, I guess, is, or, you know, the recruiting command uses is the fact that, you know, we live here, we work here, and we serve here. And, you know, what another great reminder about how important our National Guard is to not only to our federal entity, but also to state and local entities as well.
Absolutely. You know, we're constantly training for our federal mission. Just like today, if you were up near Camp Ripley, you may have seen some F-16s training for their federal mission up over Camp Ripley. We train every day for that, but we're also here for the governor to help in times of need, and that's exactly what your Minnesota National Guard is doing today.
Yeah, always always ready is what they say.
And always there.
And always there. So, you know, recruiting. And, you know, people, they hear about all these different branches and opportunities. And so, you know, what do you say to somebody who's thinking about serving their country or the opportunity to even serve locally within the state? What kind of messaging do you have to those people? And then what are the needs of Minnesota right now, both on the Army and the air side?
Well, I will tell you what, Doug, if you have any inkling to serve, by all means, please come see the Minnesota National Guard, Army or Air. We have plenty of opportunities within both the Army and the Air. You can serve locally, live locally, and also serve nationally or internationally. That's the beauty of the Guard. You can serve at home, and you can serve on a federal mission at the same time. So if you're interested, We've got a job for you.
Well, that's great, Chief, and a good reminder that our Minnesota National Guard is always there to answer the call. They're always ready, and we appreciate you taking a little bit of time today to spend some time with us on Minnesota Military Radio, and we appreciate what the soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard are doing for us.
Thank you, Doug.
All right, you bet. That's Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson of the Minnesota National Guard. We're just about out of time, and I'd like to let you know that this show is for you. If you've got topic suggestions, if you have feedback, if you're a Minnesota veteran, you'd like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Click on Contact Us. Send us a message, please. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Tim Murray, Sam Andrews, Ray Kane, Patrick Nickel, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson, Commissioner Brad Lindsay of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week when founding host of Minnesota Military Radio, Tom Lyons, has an in-depth conversation with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system about a topic we all can relate to. That's getting older. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham. I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a great week and you find a way to make a positive impact on someone's life.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.